In preparation for today's sermon, I tried to purchase a bracelet that had a tiny ball hanging from it, and inside was a mustard seed. They were very popular years ago. You may remember them. Usually the bracelets came with a verse. If you have faith as a tiny mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Or if you have faith as a tiny mustard seed, you will be able to move mountains. Now, as I pondered this parable, I came to the conclusion that the creators of these trinkets missed the major message of the mustard seed parable. Probably because they were more interested in profit than in point. The mustard seed is a provocative, strange parable. If Jesus had said to people living under Roman occupation, God's reign is like the mighty cedars of Lebanon, as described in Ezekiel, the people might have yawned and said, of course. If Jesus had said God's reign is like the apocalyptic tree of Daniel, with the crown of the tree reaching to heaven and the branches covering the earth, sheltering the beasts of the field and nesting the largest of birds, the people might have said, who is he trying to fool? Instead we had this message, or we seem to have this message. If you can't have hope, as in the majestic cedars of Lebanon and in the apocalyptic tree of Daniel, try hope as in a shrub. People in Mark's community of faith needed transforming, credible words of encouragement and hope. Oppressed now under Roman persecution, Jerusalem is ravaged, and the majestic Holy of Holies temple has been destroyed. Hope was desperately needed, but credible hope. Hope that one could believe in and live by during hopeless times. Images of majestic trees as a symbol of hope in this context would be too overwhelming. Instead, take a tiny mustard seed, plant it, it germinates, and over time the seed sprouts and becomes a glorious shrub. Not a great tree like a mighty cedar, but a shrub. A big shrub. It will get to be 4 to 5 feet, maybe larger. Small birds might perch on its branches. Finding a nest there would be stretching the image a bit too far. At the time of nesting, the plant would be in the growing stage and certainly not large enough. Still, quite impressive. The point is that the mustard seed does not grow to be tree strength size because it is an annual plant. Germane to its existence is the life of the seed, and something beyond itself, the weather. So Jesus queries, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use to describe it? And then responds, a shrub. And we might detect the humor of Mark and of Jesus, but also the realism. If at this time you don't have faith to move mountains or faith like mighty cedar, try a shrub. The story that was told for the encouragement and hope of people in Jesus and Mark's day, and it's a story for our encouragement and hope. Now, I connect this parable with the verses in the book of Job, albeit taken out of context. A cut down tree is hopeless, lifeless, but wait. There's a little green shoot on that tree, and at the mere scent of water, it will grow again. There is hope for a hopeless tree. Transforming hope can occur at the mere scent of water, as in a tiny mustard seed. Theology arises from the context of life. If so, this is contextual theology at its best. If our broken world and dwindling church budgets and hopeless personal contexts make faith to move mountains incredible, try a tiny seed and a shrub. Try a cut down tree and a little shoot and the scent of water. And of such is God's reign, says Jesus. It is credible. It's doable. Well, as you know, the roller coaster history of the Center for Christian Studies is marked with stories of drunk seeds of transforming hope. Hear the names. Church of England Deaconess and Missionary Training House. The Anglican Women's Training College. The Methodist National Training School. The United Church Training School. Covenant College. The Presbyterian Deaconess and Missionary Training Home. The change of names alone points to this transforming hope. And we graduates, I know, because we've been sharing the stories all weekend, have a legion of stories to illustrate. But because I'm a preacher, I get the privilege of sharing one now. It was 1966, my first year at Covenant College. Dr. Jean Hutchinson, Dr. Hutch, we called her, was leading us in a study of the Synoptic Gospels with her usual biblical depth, insight, and questions. I was mesmerized. Here on one page were the Gospel parallels of stories of Jesus and about him, all quite different in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And being an avid reader, I would have read as much background material as possible for each session of the course. Well, on this particular day, when I had read and heard just one too many interpretations, I put my head in my arms on the desk. Everyone left except Dr. Hutch. I lifted my head, looked at her in hopeless desperation, and said, "Dr. Hutch, one of us has got to go, you or me." And I wasn't so naive as to wonder which one of us it would be. Calmly, Dr. Hutch said, "Mary and I would like to treat you to lunch at the Arcadian Court in Simpsons." Well, the day arrived, and thankful that I had spent 4 years at private school and had already been trained in how to host Sunday afternoon tea at Covenant, I could relax around the amount of cutlery and china provided and pour out my concerns about her course. Now, I don't remember the content of that conversation. I wish I had written it down. But no doubt, in true Dr. Hutch form, she listened and questioned and commented and questioned again. The end result was that I engaged biblical studies with a renewed passion, devouring every text I could find, and in fact, became a continuing student of the scriptures with biblical and historical studies, the chosen area of my BMIM studies many years later. At the time, Dr. Utch no doubt wasn't thinking of even shrub seeds in relation to me, and I certainly wasn't thinking of transformation. My anguish concern was survival, and I couldn't smell even a scent of water. Well, it is one of my many stories of shrub seeds, of transforming hope, and I am confident that each person here has stories like that. The Center for Christian Studies, together with all theological schools, is faced with many challenges. Some see it as a crisis. Others see it as an opportunity for change, continuity, growth, and transformation. In some ways, we in church and school still function as if we were in our glory days, when people were numerous, budgets were large, new church buildings were being constructed frequently. We tend to function still as if the church were a majestic cedar instead of a shrub. So maybe, just maybe, our transforming hope is in developing a shrub theology. The church has neither the dollars nor people it once had in theological schools ever since. And at the same time, I'm well aware, because I was part of it, that the Center for Christian Studies has much to celebrate in the recent Endowment Fund campaign. So given some thought to what a shrub theology might look like, as shrub theology names the context we find ourselves in and plants seeds, tiny seeds. Covenant College and the Anglican Women's Training College did this in 1969. There weren't too many United Anglican Shared Ministries at that time. There are still unresolved issues. However, now might indeed be the time to start planting seeds to push those boundaries further to other denominations, other partners in university and community, and to other religious communities. Doctors Without Borders. Imagine a theological center without borders. How much richer our education could be in the company of people of all religious expressions. More important, how more effective we would be in our justice seeking and peacemaking in God's world. A related ingredient in shrub theology is a theological imagination. Theological imagination that lingers with those why and what questions, that plays with the text and conversation, questioning and being questioned. CCS has demonstrated that theological imagination in a number of ways. The move to Winnipeg from Toronto amidst controversy and conflict. The reflection action model of learning. The spiral model of theological reflection. That theological imagination has CCS housed in the J.S. Woodsworth House. In the risk of the move to Winnipeg, the newness of curriculum development, you found a heritage home where social gospel and social justice thrived. Interestingly, Woodsworth II was born in Ontario. A shrug theology recognizes that we do not have the monopoly on truth. There are always new truths to be discovered in other cultures, countries, and theologies. And again, CCS has already planted seeds here. In my DNIN course of studies, I was privileged to take a course from Dr. Bernard Anderson. His text, Understanding the Old Testament, was required reading in many schools, including Covenant College. But one day at class, we were examining a verse in the Hebrew Scriptures, and this was at Boston University. Most of us were jumping in with our various interpretations because we were seasoned ministers who knew lots of answers. In the midst of this fairly heated discussion, one student pounded the table with the truth, and his voice shouted above the sound of his fist, "This is what it means." Dr. Anderson quietly said, "Well, let's see what the Hebrew says." He read the verse in his Hebrew Bible, looked up with his half-rimmed glasses on his nose, and calmly said, "The meaning is obscure." The meaning is obscure. What a great find in the search for truth. On another occasion over lunch, I asked him, "Why did you do a revision of your text, Understanding the Old Testament, which is still in stock, still a bestseller?" And he replied, "Because of new discoveries in biblical archaeology, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and because of feminist theology." He went on to say something like this: "Feminist theology has turned biblical theology into topsy-turvy." And he paused, looked at me, and continued, "And that's a good thing." A good thing indeed. As you know, it is transforming. The good news of Shrug theology is that we don't have all the answers, and we don't need all the answers. The complexity of issues in our world today suggests, in fact, that we need to be cautious with our answers. It may be more important to struggle to find the right questions, and having found them, to patiently and passionately push the horizons. Philosopher Gadamer of the 19th century wrote, "It is more difficult to ask the right questions than to answer them." Any insights that we glean are indeed glimpses of truth, glimpses that we face for critique beside other glimpses coming to us from other countries, cultures, from native spirituality, and from other faith communities. Hear the good news in glimpses of truth. It is wonderful and it is marvelous, even mysterious, that we dare to claim glimpses of truth in our diverse, complex world. What our situation calls for frequently has us stymied. What does it call for? We don't know. We groan under the weight of our uncertainties. We have planted seeds, but no shoots have sprouted. We can't see a shrub, let alone a tree. Well, the good news that's found in Romans is that as we groan, the Spirit helps us. Caught in the struggle between futility and hope, and with sighs too deep for words, the Spirit identifies with us and lifts us to God, our God whose heart is broken by the brokenness of our world. We lift our eyes to glorify God. We participate in the mystery of the bread and wine. But we know God's glory is in humanity fully alive, and thus with the symbols of towel and basin, we immerse ourselves in the disgrace of the world, where too many people still live under oppression and poverty. We seek shrub-like ways to empower ourselves and others to be mindful of the grace and to attend to the disgrace. The mustard seed shrub and plant. Manitoba farmer friend says that here the plant grows to about 2 feet only. There's a bountiful harvest. Canada is one of the world's greatest exporters of mustard. The Center for Christian Studies, with its vision of a new heaven and a new earth, planting tiny seeds that produce shrubs might indeed be our methodology. And together with justice-seeking and peace-loving partners around us and throughout the world, we have made, and we will continue to make a difference. May it be so. Amen.